This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Mullins, and we're going to talk some NASCAR this week. We had a little bit later of a week because of the rain delay that pushed the Dover race back to Monday. We'll talk about that. And in fact, let's start there, Rod. Let's start with the Monday race this week and Martin Truex's win. And take us into that, Martin Truex with the exciting win and a long weekend for folks there in Dover.
Yeah, long weekend, and just exactly as we were calling it last week when we did the podcast, weather played a factor, rained things out on Sunday, and then it moved everything to Monday starting around 12 noon. And for Martin Truex Jr., it was a big win for him because, you know, second time that he's won a race on a Monday at Dover. And so it was good news for him. It was a great way for him to pick up another win on the season. But still, there were some problems with this race. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about that as it goes on, as the podcast goes on. But there were a lot of complaints, a lot of arguments, a lot of different things going on that NASCAR has addressed, or at least I think they've addressed. But the problem continues to be the setup of the car and different things like that, because one of the people that we would have expected to be at the top of the pack in Kyle Busch was not happy at all with the race setup, as opposed to Martin Truex, which he complained about the car probably late in the stage of the race, the last stage of the race, but then the car came to him and he did probably have one of the better cars that he had at Dover in quite a while. So you've got different drivers, different owners with different types of opinions on how this setup is going so far in NASCAR. And, I mean, for Chase Elliott, the winner from the week before, Chase Elliott, he came close, finished in the top five, and then you had some others that didn't do as well on this racetrack this past Monday. So we've got a lot to talk about with this, especially about this whole setup issue and what's going on with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's go into those comments from Kyle Busch. You know, I guess the question is, were they just sour grapes because he didn't win, or does he have a point? And it seems like, I mean, I think you even mentioned there, Rod, Martin Truex Jr. said it was hard to pass with these rule changes, even with one of the better cars in the field on Monday. So, did Kyle Busch, was he onto something here, or was there just a little bit of sour grapes?
I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on it a little bit. He is in the situation of where he said on Friday when they were getting everything set up for the weekend, he called the package race at Dover terrible. And, you know, the way that I look at it in one way, where Kyle knows what he's talking about when it comes to driving a race car, but a lot of people are referring to the fact they think it's just more than anything sour grapes on Kyle Busch's part. And, you know, you have a driver like Martin Truex, and then you have Alex Bowman for Hendrick Motorsports. They came from the rear of the field. They ended up placing, first and second overall on the race. Busch was stuck 10th, 15th, somewhere in that stretch for most of the race. And he didn't have a better car than that. But the thing was, he slammed the wall too. He didn't help his chase much in the rest of the race. But Dover's been one of those places where it just causes a driver to do different things and the way that they drive the car. And then the package also, I think, just kind of added to that a little bit more with that package setup and everything. This is something that NASCAR is learning, and Kyle Busch obviously is not very happy with it. He was just thinking about it early on in the season before we even ran Daytona. He was upset about it then. He was about to take a terrible package. But, you know, this is the car that is the car package is going to be modified going into the Generation 7 car that will be coming out here in the next year or two. So that's a big step. They're trying to get a car ready that's going to be universal all the way around. And to get this Generation 7 car, I think we talked about this in one of the previous podcasts, of where it's going to open up perhaps more manufacturers into the racing field in NASCAR instead of having just a Ford, a Chevrolet, a Toyota in there. Now, you might see Dodge come back into this, or the Dodge Chrysler kind of combination there. You might even see some foreign car makers even enter the fray before it's over with. There's some talk that Honda might even be interested in it. There's some talk that Nissan might even be interested in it. So who knows what's going to happen, but, you know, as with every little thing, something has to be tested. It has to be tried. Not everybody's going to be happy. Kyle Busch has definitely let everybody know he's not happy about the fact.
So fans listening in, either you were watching Saturday or you at least know of what happened at the Kentucky Derby as far as maximum security, crossed the finish line first, actually led wire to wire. His jockey was the only clean jockey on the whole turf there, or the whole track there, because they led wire to wire. But after the race, the jockeys of two other horses filed objections, and they were ultimately upheld. And maximum security was sent back towards the back of the pack, and Country House was awarded the win. And it happened pretty quickly, you know. Now we'll talk about this in terms of NASCAR. But in 22 minutes, the stewards reviewed the race and declared Country House the winner. It happened right there in front of everybody. NASCAR's actually had similar things in the past. You've actually seen races, in fact, the first NASCAR race back in 49, where the winner of the race was disqualified later for failing inspection. You've seen winners disqualified, black flagged, essentially. Ricky Rudd in 1991 for spinning Davey Allison out of the lead at Sonoma. As an example there. So it's not unprecedented in NASCAR to see a winner on the track that day, on a Sunday or Saturday night or a Monday even, declared the winner. Fans go home. You think you know who won. And then, now that's the difference. It's not 22 minutes. Usually the post-race inspections are done a couple hours after the race. You might have word either that day or even the next day about a disqualification. So what is the possibility, Rod, that, that NASCAR can speed that process up, I guess. And I guess, too, it's probably more inevitable that it's going to happen again rather than even asking the question, will it happen again? Will a winner be disqualified? Because there is a long history of winners being disqualified.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think it's only a matter of time before it happens. And, you know, we've talked about this. I remember back when one of the cars back at Bristol, I think it was Kevin Harvick, he failed inspection three times and then finally came through on the fourth inspection and they let him go through and he was able to make it in. But he had to race from the back of the pack in order to start the race and everything. But, you know, there's not been a disqualification so far this season based upon, you know, some of the other factors in this. But, you know, NASCAR has a new rule with this that they are going to go and, for right now, you have a declared unofficial winner of a race. And so, for example, it may be a Martin Truex like what happened on Monday. But it could happen of where when they go through a post-race inspection, they could actually take that win away from Martin Truex. They would award it to the runner-up, and then Martin Truex would either lose his points, the car owner would lose their points out of it. The NASCAR has said, and they've been very adamant, that they're no longer going to tolerate overt cheating, and then the teams that even working in this proverbial gray area, and I've talked about that quite a bit on the podcast, it's where that gray area is at. It may not be in the rule book, and then it may be mentioned in the rule book, but it's not there set in stone. So you've got a wide area there of what you can do to tweak or what you can do to kind of twist things around to make your car that much better. And then when that happens and something just doesn't check out about it, NASCAR comes up with some kind of a rule or they come up with some kind of a thing to set that up. And then that's how they penalize people. But NASCAR has at least put some kind of, I guess, teeth when it comes to the bite if it has to this year. If they come up on something that's a winning vehicle that is disqualified, well, let's put it this way. I'd rather for it to go through pre-race inspection and fail two or three times, even though you may lose your car chief or your crew chief or whatever, and you may start from the rear of the pack. But that just goes to show NASCAR is serious about this, and teams are starting to, I think they're starting to kind of get with the whole program about this. And hey, let's look at it. NASCAR is being a little bit more open, I think, than how they respond to people right now. As the case is, as what Steve O'Donnell did when he had to go and turn around. Usually, a criticism like what Kyle Busch and also Bob Levin from Levin Family Racing had stated just from this past week about the package at Dover, usually would end up in some kind of fine because of comment detrimental to the sport of racing or something like that. But yeah, they didn't get fined this week. That was a surprising thing about it. NASCAR is giving the owner and the driver at least a chance to say what's on their mind, and they're letting them do that if they haven't penalized it yet. But, you know, eventually this is what's going to happen. Somebody is going to get DQ'd out of it, and it may even happen this season. But chances are right now, I don't think it's going to happen in the immediate future right now, the next few weeks. But we may see something happen, especially as we start getting closer and closer to the playoff.
Yeah, I skipped over one thing about Dover, going back to that real quick. NASCAR addressing an issue brought up, I guess, by Kyle Busch. Steve O'Donnell, NASCAR Executive Vice President, Chief Racing Development Officer, responded on a SiriusXM radio interview on Tuesday about the hard-to-pass criticism. Talk about what O'Donnell had to say in response to Kyle Busch.
Well, his comment was more than anything that these are the best drivers in the world. It's going to be hard to pass. That's the way it has been set up. And his sharpest rebuke was from Bob Levin, who's that owner of the Levin Family Racing Team, because Levin stated, and he seconded Bush's comment by saying the package sucked. That's what he said. He went on Twitter, and I think it was about an hour even after the race had taken place on Twitter, and in almost Donald Trump-esque fashion, the way that he handled it. Levin responded to the questions about the racing on Twitter after the race. He said, this was some of his comments. He said, there were three or four cars that were dominant. Even they had difficulty passing. But you also heard many drivers say it took them up 40 laps to pass a car that was 4/10 slower. Cars better than us and cars not as good as us. And a lot of that's going to have to come up with the race setup and the package, but it also is this thing that NASCAR has been playing around with. You know, we were talking here just a couple of weeks ago. Talladega had no restrictor plate. That was the first time that I could recall in many years, even going back to the 80s, Chase Elliott's dad was Bill Elliott at one time, and I think Rusty Wallace even ran at one time, restrictor plate without a restrictor plate on the car, getting up to 200 or over 200 miles an hour. Well, they didn't have a restrictor plate this time around, but they were running 198, 199, somewhere in that neighborhood. But, you know, somebody asked the question to Levin and asked, he said, was the package sucked that bad? How did Truex win? Well, it comes up with more than anything else how teams are able to adjust. And, you know, O'Donnell says that they've talked to everybody. He says, quote, it's unfortunate, especially when a team owner does social media and they go about it the right way and then they go about it the wrong way. They're available to be talked, they can be talked to at any time. Steve O'Donnell, Jim France, they're in every race. But you know, Kevin Harvick said something too over the weekend that I thought was interesting. Kevin Harvick tweeted during the weekend that he went up 17 miles per hour faster in the center of the corner with this package than what he did last year. And some of the other drivers raised questions about what the racing might be like. Truex said, yeah, it was definitely hard to pass on Monday, but it also came up with, I think, more than anything, the positioning on the track. Alex Bowman was really running the high side really well at point at a certain point during the race on Monday when he was racing against Martin Truex. But the setup, I think, hurt him because of either lack of experience or also the fact that that track just has a way to come up and bite you before it's over with. But, you know, it's just one of those things that's going to be talked about all through the season. How are they going to balance all this stuff? NASCAR's going to listen. They're going to take their chances on it, see how it goes. And I think it's even more of what happened. Levin and Busch could have been penalized a significant amount of money. And they opted not to punish them this time around with anything, with any kind of detrimental comments to the sport. So I think that's a kind of a new outlook, so to speak, on NASCAR. They're listening, but at the same time, they're kind of looking at this big picture and they're saying, you know, we've got to give the driver and maybe the car owner a chance to speak up about this and see how it affects them. And I think that's where the big difference is in it now, especially with quarterback on.
So we're caught up on Dover now. Let's look ahead to Kansas this weekend. Get us ready for the race this weekend as NASCAR moves to the Midwest.
Well, Kansas, another one of those newer tracks here in the last several years. Kansas Speedway, it'll be the Digital Ally 400 at Kansas Speedway. It starts at 7:30 on Saturday evening. And, of course, it'll be run under the lights. And for this one, it's going to be Kevin Harvick more than anything. He's eager to return back to Kansas and make a run at Kansas Speedway for this race. He's tied right now with Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon for the best, the series best three wins at the venue. And Harvick is ready, of course, to go back to victory lane. Eight top 10 finishes already on the season with the 11th opening race of 2019, but he's still looking for his first win. He hasn't won a race as opposed to what he did last year. So you've got Kevin Harvick looking to try to come up with something there at Kansas. Kyle Busch will be looking for an even dozen, 12 in the top 10 this time around. He'll also be looking for a big win, and you've got even more drivers that's going to be looking for some better luck this time around. Case in point, Kyle Larson, he picked up this past week. He was able to claim a top 10 and finish in the race at Dover this past Monday, but you know, he's had some bad luck, and he crashed out in three of the most recent five races. He's only led laps in two of the 11 races on the season so far, but he likes Kansas. He led 101 laps in the race last year. He finished fourth to come up with a win, but still, it was his career best showing at the track back in the fall of 2014 when he started his second career Monster Energy car there, his series event there, and he finished 12th on the season. So some numbers there on some of those drivers. Of course, Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman will be looking at had some good finishes this weekend, but you still cannot rule out the home state favorite, and that'd be Clint Boyer, who's from Emporia, Kansas. He would like nothing more than to get a big win there. Again, he'd like to put that that trophy with his name on it in the mantle and everything at home. But he said that if he ever were to win at Kansas, he said, I'll probably be wouldn't be in very good shape for Mother's Day. And we'll probably have to postpone that until Monday. For all the celebration and everything that would be going on. But he wants to win at home very badly, finally seal the deal. And so we can't really rule Clint Boyer out of this one either. So he's looking for a win also at that big track there at Kansas.
All right. Well, I feel like we're ready for Kansas this weekend. We're caught up on Dover. So, Rod, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.